Welcome to the Sharp Angles Props and DFS Show. I'm your host, Todd Burrows, and I am joined by my partner, Ryan McChrystal, as we head to an interesting week in the NFL where we have no more buys and we also get a three-game Saturday slate. Ryan has his props ready to share, and I will focus on some early thoughts on the DK main slate on Sunday. But before we dive into today's episode, we want to remind you that you can get access to all our fantasy content, including insights, props, worksheets, and more, by taking advantage of our fantasy packages available on the Sharp Football website. Right now, we're running a special offer for listeners, code ANGLES, for 15% off any fantasy package. The 15% discount also extends to every package site-wide. Check it out in the podcast description or use the code ANGLES during checkout on the purchase page of the Sharp Football website. Also, if you could please subscribe and give thumbs up on our YouTube channel. If you are watching and if you are listening, like and review our podcast, we would very much appreciate it as always. And now, welcome back, Ryan McChrystal. How are you, Ryan?
Doing well. How are you doing, Todd?
I am outstanding. Oh, wait, no, I'm in sitting. Anyway, either way, we are ready for bad puns, good props, and random DFS talk, as we always are. How did we do? You were on such a hot streak. How did we do last week?
Yeah, we were hot going into the last week. Didn't stay as hot, but we went 2-2. So we're 43-30 on the year. That's a solid 59% win percentage. So as long as we can close out these last couple of weeks, it looks like we're going to have a pretty strong year this season.
That's awesome. And let's move on to the rest of your props. Oh, wait. It looks like I have last week's props here. Oh, no. It's just DeAndre Hopkins, the longest reception over again, Ryan.
Yeah, we're sticking with it. I'm feeling really good about this one now because, you know, we started playing the over on Hopkins' longest receptions back when Levis took over because he just wants to launch the ball downfield. He's got just sort of that attitude that he's going to take shots whenever he can. And we lost a couple, I think it was maybe his second and third start or his third and fourth start maybe where we lost this prop. And so it didn't get off to a great start, but we've now won it a bunch of weeks in a row. And the over on Hopkins' longest reception is 5-2 now with Levis at quarterback. And there's no reason to stay away from it because he continues to throw deep and the lines haven't really adjusted yet, which is great because we've got a really favorable number again this week at 22.5 yards for Hopkins' longest reception. That's an easy bet on the over given how he's been used. He actually had three different receptions that went over his line last week. So that was a very easy win. And you know, like we've talked about the past few weeks, Levis throws downfield at the highest rate in the league. 31% of his attempts are 15 or more yards downfield. Basically, one out of every three throws, he's taking a shot of at least 15 yards. The next highest rate in the league is 24% for CJ Stroud. So he's in his own category as far as taking shots downfield. And obviously, Hopkins sees most of those targets. In fact, since Levis took over, nobody has seen more targets than 15 or more yards downfield than DeAndre Hopkins. So with this line still sitting at just 22.5 yards, it's an easy bet for the over. There's no reason for us to get off this yet.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Our next one is a guy I played very heavy in DFS last week. And we'll talk about his quarterback during the DFS segment. But DJ Moore, tell us where you are with DJ Moore this week.
Yeah, DJ Moore.
DJ Moore or is it DJ?
We're going with Moore. DJ Moore.
Over DJ Moore.
5.5 receptions or lower is where I'd like to take it. There's no line for it right now because he is dealing with an ankle injury that appeared to pop up during the game at some point last week. It seemed like he finished the game. So it looks like it's something he's probably capable of playing through. And I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to suit up even if he's not 100%, given the fact that the Bears are technically kind of in the race. Their record wouldn't really indicate it, but with four games to go, they've got the Browns, Cardinals, Falcons, and Packers on the schedule. So it's a winnable stretch. Winning out is not completely out of the question for the Bears. And so it seems like they have the attitude that this, you know, their playoffs start right now. And so I would assume Moore is going to play. So we're going to take the over on his receptions at 5.5 or lower. And this is really all about the Browns defense, as we've been playing this a few times. We're 4-1 on the year playing receiving props against the Browns. And as we've talked about before, the reason we like this, the Browns use man coverage at the highest rate in the league. 43% of the time they're in man coverage. League average is 24%. So when teams have a different distribution between man and zone coverage, when they play the Browns, we have a chance to gain an edge because we can anticipate a different target share breakdown than their season totals might look like. And that's definitely the case with the Bears. When Justin Fields is at quarterback, DJ Moore's target share, 24.5% against zone, 38.2% against man. So a really significant jump when they're in man coverage. We expect they're going to see man coverage at a very high rate against the Browns defense. So we should expect more to be peppered with targets this week.
One of those season long teams I was telling you about has DJ Moore. So I am hopeful for a good week. And the next guy is a wide receiver in one of the high scoring games of the week. Tell us about your Brandon Ayuk prop.
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk, longest reception over 26 and a half yards. This is another trend that we've been playing based on the defense. They're going up against the Cardinals. We are 3-0 this year when playing longest receptions against Arizona. We've been trying to pick out these receivers who see a high rate of downfield targets when they're going up against the Cardinals, because Arizona allows a league worst 61% completion rate on throws of 15 or more yards. League average is 44%. So they're dramatically worse than the average defense. He definitely fits in the category of a guy who sees a high rate of downfield targets. 44% of the Niners targets at 15 or more yards downfield have been to Ayuk, and he sees an average of 2.8 per game. Playing a defense like Arizona, also, you would certainly expect good reason that he would get even more than that. So really high probability that he makes at least one catch on a downfield throw this week. And, you know, obviously he's also a weapon after the catch, so it doesn't even need to be, you know, a 30-yard bomb or something like that. If he catches a pass at 15 or 20 yards downfield, obviously he's the type of receiver that often turns that into a much bigger play, as he did the last time they played when he hit the over on this prop with a 42-yard reception. So Ayuk's longest reception over 26 and a half yards this week.
So are you Gibbs or are you Take?
But this line is available at 13 and a half yards. And to me, that feels like a really obvious over, because this week now we have the combination of a strong trend with Gibbs hitting this prop and a really favorable matchup. We played it last week and we won. And like I said, I think we're going to continue to come back to it, because over his last 9 games, he's had a run of 20 or more yards 7 times. And this prop almost, like I said, it's only at 13 and a half this week. So we're not even approaching that 20 mark. But we almost never see it go above 20 yards. If you listen to the pod last year, you know, we talked about Nick Chubb every week. He was his longest rush was one that we went back to time and time again. And he was consistently going over 20 yards. And I believe there was only one week last year where they actually bumped the line up above 20 yards. It's just sort of a threshold that never gets crossed in this prop. So when you have a running back who's consistently hitting it, you almost have to play the over regardless of the matchup. But in this case, we do have a good matchup. They're going up against the Broncos. Denver's allowing 15 or more yards on 8.1% of running back carries. That's the second highest rate in the league. They also give up 3 or more yards before contact on 31% of carries. That's the worst rate in the league. So a really favorable defense for an explosive running back like Gibbs. When he gets 3 or more yards before contact, he turns that into at least 15 yards on 24% of his carries. So against a favorable defense like this, it's a really obvious over. I would have bet this line much higher than the 13 and a half. So this might be my favorite of the week.
Awesome. I love that one as well. Let's get to your last one. I'm not sure this guy is going to play. Have you heard any recent news on Devin Achane?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is another injury one. But in case he does play, I'm going to take the over on his longest rush. And it, obviously, because of the injury factor, there's no line on it yet. But I would take it at 15 and a half yards or lower. I think it's worth talking about because even though we think he might not play, because this could also be a prop that we continue to play down the stretch based on how he's performing. We might also, if he does play, we might get a lower line, partially because of the Jets' defensive reputation. Obviously, this is one of the better defenses in the league, but in this particular prop, I don't think we have to be scared of them. The Jets allow 3 or more yards before contact on 25% of carries. That ranks 25th in the league. So they are allowing some open running lanes at a pretty high rate. And untouched yards for a runner as explosive as Achan is, you know, the over is an easy bet against this type of defense. So he gains 15 or more yards at the league's highest rate on 14.3% of his carries. That rank jumps to 25% when he has three or more yards before contact. So this would be a really good matchup for him if he does play. He's been hitting the over pretty consistently this season on this prop, and we think we have a favorable defense. So, you know, even though we think we might not get him in action this week, it's worth talking about, because if he does suit up, it's a pretty easy decision to bet the over. And, you know, we may continue to revisit it in weeks, the rest of the season.
All right. I just want to remind everyone before we transition over to DFS that, again, if you want to get 15% off all our things on the Sharp Football website, you can use the code ANGLES. You go on and the discount extends to every package site-wide. Check it out in the podcast description or use the code ANGLES during checkout on the purchase page of the Sharp Football website.
All right, Todd, let's jump over to the DFS conversation now. And I know before we really dive into the position by position breakdown, you wanted to sort of just touch on the slate as a whole. So what are some of your early thoughts on how you're going to approach this slate in the big picture?
Yeah, it's a really interesting week where pretty much every game in the early window is got a total of 41 or over. And all three of the games in the later window almost have about a 50 total. So it opens up a lot of opportunities to be strategic. If you really should be doing late swap and trying to maximize, you know, take teams that aren't doing well and go to less owned plays. So the early slate is a great way to get information. And I am going to really probably limit my early ownership to lesser owned guys. Not exclusively, but for the most part. Where I think I'm going to also differentiate is because all the low-owned games are early, I think I'm going to mix up a lot of defenses. And that way, if one of those defenses happen to get, you know, a 25 to 30 point week, I'll be able to have my choice of how I want to play the late slate and a lot of those players in the late slate. So I wanted to talk about that. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's nice when we have an opportunity to sort of change up our strategy a little bit in a unique week like this. So let's now go into our position breakdowns. With that in mind, how are you going to attack the quarterback position, at least your early thoughts on this?
Yep. And remember, on Thursday, we only have first run of ownership projections. They can change a lot, and that a lot of these thoughts are based on where they sit now. One that's probably not going to change is that Matt Stafford is going to be massively owned. And for a quarterback, that's going to be about 20% owned at $6,000. What's interesting is that his running back is also going to be chalk. And, I know that Stafford does throw to Kyren Williams. But in general, I think that it's kind of an interesting way that you can play it, which is to play two of Puka, Kupp, and Kyren without Stafford. Remember, Stafford, as good as he's played lately, has never been, he's always been more of a consistent scorer than a spiky scorer. And when you take a guy like that who doesn't have the rushing upside, and you're playing into ownership and you're not really getting a great discount, that tends to be a situation, Ryan, that I'm going to be under. In the same game, Sam Howell is the second highest value. I'm sure I will play Howell, but, you know, he isn't cheap like he used to be, and he's still hard to stack with four legitimate guys that could fill the two slots that you need to have. I expect about a 15% ownership on him, which is about what we're seeing early. We're also seeing 15% on Josh Allen and Brock Purdy in the late games. Allen's 8,200, Purdy's 6,800. What's shocking to me, Ryan, early is that Dak Prescott right now is showing a quarter of the ownership of Josh Allen in the same game, and Dak is cheaper at 8,000. If that happens to stay the same, I'm going to have a lot of Dak Prescott this week. I do like Josh Allen as well. Jordan Love is getting 10% ownership. I think something's going to have to give, but I think he's going to be popular as well. He's in a great matchup, and he certainly is in the mix for me as a possible guy to be over on. I'm going into a lot of quarterbacks this week because it's really kind of the key. We have some explosive quarterbacks in bad matchups. I like Justin Fields at 7K and 2% ownership. We haven't seen the 40-point game from Fields this year, but it certainly is still possible. And last week he was the chalk, and we've seen Cleveland get beat a few times. So the fact that Fields is going to be low-owned because they're playing Cleveland on a week where, you know, most of the chalk are guys that don't have the rushing upside Fields has. And the last name I'm going to throw out there, Ryan, is Tommy DeVito at 5K. Right now, about 2% ownership. Guys playing in a dome. He came out last week, ran the ball a lot more, 70 yards rushing. And I really like the comment that Brian Daboll made. You know, a lot of it with these backups is does the coaching staff trust them enough to give them a, you know, the ability to play and not be ultra conservative? Well, we've seen DeVito really stand up last week, especially. You've got the rushing upside. They're playing in a dome. I can't swear that I'm going to be on him by the time we get there, but I think naked Tommy DeVito, where you don't play the chalky Wandell Robinson, is certainly in play on this week. Your thoughts on my multitude of quarterback options?
Yeah, a lot of options there this week. I definitely like your thoughts on Justin Fields. I think that's a really obvious spot to target a quarterback when you have a guy who's going to get less of a roster share because of the defense. But the running quarterback like Fields, he could have a huge game against any defense, because no defense is consistently always going to shut down that type of runner. If he gets loose, it can take one or two big plays and suddenly, you know, his fantasy score skyrockets. And there's just no defense that's necessarily built to completely shut that down every time. So he has a huge ceiling against everybody. So if the defense is pushing his roster share down, I think it's an obvious opportunity to be over on him. Also 100% on board with your thoughts about Dak Prescott. The fact that he would have, I mean, you can make a good case why both he and Josh Allen are, you know, quarterbacks to target this week, obviously. But with Prescott having the lower salary and the lower roster share, to me, that is the obviously better option for us.
Yeah, I don't know that it'll hold at that. Again, yeah, these are early. But the only opinion, you know, if they're both at 10, let's say right now Allen's at 15 and Dak's at 14. And that's 19 total. There's a chance I might go 40% either way on this game of my 200 lineups. And if I'm doing 200 and Dak's at 4%, well, I might go 30 Dak and 10 Josh Allen. If it gets closer to 10 and 10, then I'm more likely to be 20 and 20 on the two guys.
Yeah, that completely makes sense as a way to approach that and just adjust based on where the roster share breakdown falls. One other guy I wanted to mention, I can't remember if you mentioned him in your long list of guys, but Will Levis, I would imagine, is one that people might be thinking about in that Titans-Texans game. Yeah, obviously we already talked about him.
I did forget to mention him among my multitude of things I wrote down.
Well, we'll throw one more in there then and talk about Will Levis for a second. If Stroud were to play, I think he could justify playing Levis because that game would have shootout potential. And with the rate that he throws downfield, like we already talked about, he could certainly put up a huge number in a game that turns into a shootout. If Stroud doesn't play, I would probably stay away from Levis, because that might end up just being a really easy win for the Titans, because there's no Tank Dell. The Texans might also be without Nico Collins. So if they're playing Davis Mills at quarterback without Dell and Collins, they're going to have a real hard time doing anything, especially when you factor in the Titans' run defense is pretty strong too. That could just turn into a game where the Titans get up by two scores early on and they just grind Derrick Henry and Tyjae Spears all game, and Levis just doesn't get an opportunity to do anything. So that would be one that I would certainly consider, but only if Stroud were available, and otherwise it's a hard pass for me.
Yeah, and he hit his head pretty hard. We've seen a couple guys come back, but not ones who got dinged up like Stroud. I don't expect them to play. But obviously, if he does, then it does open up Will Levis. And that's why I wasn't really mentioning Will Levis, because and I'll talk more about that in our next section.
For sure. All right, let's jump over to the running backs. We've got a few big names who are looking very chalky this week. So what's your early read on the running back situation?
Well, the biggest value and the most owned guy right now is Kyren Williams. In a nut matchup, I mean, the workload is there. The talent is better than we thought it was by pure analytics. And CMC and Zeke are right behind him. All three of them have really high ownerships out of the gate, 30 to 40%. They're all good plays, but to me, I'm not playing 30% owned Zeke at 30% or higher. That to me is a pretty easy fade. I'm willing to go down on that one. Alvin Kamara is showing about 10%. He's also a really good value. I kind of like a mini stack with naked Tommy DeVito and Alvin Kamara. And because this is a week, and we're going to, you know, I didn't mention it during the quarterback segment, but they're really, and we'll get into it more during the wide receiver section, because that's where we're seeing ownership kind of make up for what I'm about to say, which is there right now, there's not any values. There's no, you know, like a couple weeks, the last 2 weeks we had Zach Moss at really good pricing and everyone wanted to pay him. And CEH was at 4,200 last week. We had ways to get expensive players in our lineup. We don't have that right now. And so, it's really not a lot in that way. So as far as running back goes, Bijan, great matchup, 6,800. I like him. I like Barkley in the same game. I think you could possibly play Barkley and DeVito together to be unique, but you don't need DeVito to play Barkley. Barkley's salary is 7,300. Huge workload in a dome. I like him. My favorite play of the week right now is the King, Derrick Henry. And for all the reasons that you covered in what you were saying, right now he is just not showing ownership. At 6,900, if CJ Stroud doesn't play, I think we might see the last really big Derrick Henry explosion week where, you know, if he gets the ball 30 times, 25 times, I really like him. I faded him in best ball, but and it's a tough matchup, but as a salary saver, $5,700. I like the role for James Conner. James Cook is very interesting to me, 6,300. If they had continued to play him in the passing game in the second half, like they had in the first half, he would be uber chalk as well this week. But the fact is that they didn't. Dallas, with their pass rush, I feel like that, you know, that could lead to a lot more James Cook in the passing game. I think he is interesting at lower ownership. And the last guy I will mention is Raheem Morris, who's showing no ownership right now, especially if Achan and Tyreek Hill either are missed or it's pretty obvious that they are banged up still.
Yeah, I echo what you said about James Cook. That's a frustrating one, because if I trusted the Bills coaching staff, I would say absolutely he should be on rostered at a very high rate this week. But they seem to struggle with the concept of just giving the ball to your best players. It's been a struggle for the Buffalo staff this year. The other one that I wanted to follow up on too is Ezekiel Elliott. I know you said that you're, you know, sort of probably shying away from him based on the fact that his roster share is so high. This almost feels like, given where his salary is at and given the matchup that he's in and the usage we've seen from him last week, it's kind of, I think it's going to be hard not to roster him, because I mean, the Chiefs, they have no run defense. And I think Ezekiel Elliott, obviously he is not the same guy he was a few years ago when he was, you know, arguably the best back in the league. He's nothing close to that right now, but what he's lost essentially is the ability to be explosive. He doesn't have that explosive ability. He's just someone who grinds it out. But the Chiefs, they're going to let him be explosive because they can't get to him in the backfield. And that's really been the weakness for Elliott, is when he's trying to fight through early contact. He's strong enough to pick up a couple yards, but he lacks that explosive ability they used to have to break off long runs after breaking a tackle. The Chiefs make contact at or behind the line of scrimmage the second worst rate in the league. And if you give Ezekiel Elliott space, he can still move well enough to be productive. When he's not contacted at or behind the line of scrimmage, he's averaging 5.8 yards per carry. So if they lean on him as much as they have shown they're willing to do right now without Stevenson back there, he should have a really nice game against this Chiefs defense. So the fact that his salary is not up there with the other guys who are likely to see a huge workload, I think that, you know, even with a high roster share, it's worth having exposure to him this week, because he could put up a monster.
Yeah, game. I'm not going to fade him, but he's showing 40. I'm thinking 20 now, but you certainly gave me more to think about, and that's why I like running these thoughts by you.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not as easy as it would be if you were expecting, you know, 15% roster share or something like that. You certainly have to think harder when he's going to have such a high. But you know, I wanted to point out those numbers because I don't think it's as easy a fade as it might be for somebody else seeing a really high roster share. Or even if it were just a different matchup for him, it would be a lot easier to fade him. But the Chiefs, man, they're bad. They're really bad. The run defense has been a big reason for their struggles. All right, let's jump over to the wide receivers now. We've got an interesting mix of both popular, what should be some popular high salary and low salary guys this week. So what's your early breakdown here?
Well, the first one is that jumped off the page at me was CD Lamb at 15% owned. I mean, that to me is a smash the over, but we run into, again, how do you pay for it? Well, maybe you do have to play Zeke Elliott. Maybe you do have to go with two lower priced running backs to fit everyone else you want at other positions. Where we're seeing the ownership is at wide receiver. Now, I like Wandale Robinson, and he certainly played amazing last week, but I'm never going to take a wide receiver at almost 40% ownership, especially one with, now I'm going to say it the other way, with Tommy DeVito at quarterback. There's just way too many ways where he doesn't crush at 3,700. The other guys who are seeing double-digit ownership that are lower priced, Dontavian Wicks, DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, those guys are, and there's one or two others, like Slayton showing 10% ownership. And the reason for it is because we're not finding value anywhere else. And I think it behooves you to find and look for other ways to get around that and not play, one or two really sketchy, guys who have a really hard time getting to 15, 20 points in your lineup, regardless of their salary. Now, there are a couple other lower price guys that you can look at, but they're ugly too. Curtis Samuel, I think at 4,600. Treylon Burks is back, 3,000. They had some things for him last week. Jalen Hyatt at 3,200. Devontae Parker at 3,500. I still think that you're better off trying to find other roster constructions that don't lean so heavily on the cheap wide receivers, but those are some guys with lower ownership who aren't that far off from the guys who are going to have ownership. Jaden Reed at 4,900, I think he's a guy that I would be way over on. That is a very good price for him with Christian Watson out. And now AJ Dillon looks like he might be out. I'm not sure about Aaron Jones. So other than that, ownership is pretty spread out with only Garrett Wilson showing over 20%. Again, I think that's, you know, again, people looking for lower salaries and with guys who have upside to make it work. A lot of my wide receivers, Ryan, are going to be mixed in game stacks. I'm going to be really careful with my rules in the optimizer this week so that I'm not leaning so heavily on these low-priced wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree with what you were saying about Jaden Reed. If he plays and Dillon and or Jones are out, that's definitely an option. I will say, though, the Packers, guys who were limited at practice on Thursday and are currently questionable, here's the list. Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, and, of course, Luke Musgrave is also out, as he has been the past couple weeks. Their offense is getting hammered by injuries right now. So keep a close eye on that. But someone like Reed, if Reed does suit up, because he has the ability to stretch the field, a little inconsistent as a guy who stretches the field, but also productive on the shorter throws and after the catch, if they're missing some of these guys, he's a guy that can benefit from almost anybody being out. So if he does suit up, I like where your head's at with that one for sure. The other one you mentioned that I wanted to just touch on was Treylon Burks. The salary is enticing. They obviously would love for him to get more involved in the game. You know, being a former first round pick, they'd love to get some return on that investment. The thing is, the way Levis is playing, like we talked about, how he wants to throw downfield all the time, that's just not Treylon Burks' strength. It wasn't in college at all. He's the type of guy who is a running back with the ball in his hands, and you've got to get him the ball in short throws. And so he's not a great pairing with Will Levis. If this is going to be their long-term quarterback, Burks is probably not the guy who's going to excel in that offense. He only has two catches at 15 or more yards downfield this year. He does get some opportunities because Levis will throw it to anybody downfield. So you could, you know, just throw a dart blindfolded and take a chance on him. But I think if you wanted to go for a cheap Titans receiver, Chris Moore, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine are probably a little more reliable at just a slightly higher salary. Even with Burks back last week, Chris Moore was still on the field at a pretty similar rate. So, and he's seen a lot of downfield targets, or at least a very high percentage of downfield targets. When he does see the ball, he's a weapon down the field. So if you wanted to dip into the Titans offense, I would go that direction instead of Burks.
Yeah, fair point.
All right, let's wrap things up with the tight end position. Always a tough one. What are you thinking this week?
Well, right now, and with those injuries, I'm going to skip right to Tucker Kraft. He's at 3,000, showing 17% ownership. I didn't get to see the game last week, but I did kind of like him coming out. But it's hard, again, for me to play a chalky, cheap guy. But let's see how things go. The other chalky guy is Trey McBride, who's back after bye at 5,200. He isn't exactly salary savings anymore, and he's showing 30% ownership. I think some of the ownership somewhere is going to have to give. I love the player, but at this ownership, I might leverage him with a low-owned wide receiver on the Cardinals. I'd have to look more into the salaries on those guys, see if Wilson is back. You know, it's going to be hard for me. You know, it's going to really be hard to play Trey McBride at ownership. I think then you're really locking yourself into one, if not two, of those $3,000 wide receivers, which is not how I want to play the slate. So as much as I would like to play Trey McBride, I don't think I will. Chig Okonkwo is another guy with ownership, and that's also a tough click for me after his disappointing season. One guy who's not showing ownership, but he played really good last week, is Davis Allen of the Rams. 5% ownership, 3,300. But my favorite right now, I think, is Kyle Pitts at 4,004% ownership. We're finally seeing Arthur Smith open up the passing off part of that offense. Pitts is also looking a little bit healthier. And at 4% ownership, I think he's interesting. But my my favorite two I saved for last, Brevin Jordan at 3,100. We've seen this time and time again with backups. When they get in the game, they tend to throw to the guy that they see every day in practice. And Brevin Jordan and Davis have been, backups this year. They also have a history together from the last couple years. So I really like Brevin Jordan at 3,100. And my favorite play of the week, it's not cheap, but he's salary's right near McBride. Jake Ferguson, lower, he's not quite the play that McBride is. But at a quarter of the ownership, I will take Ferguson as part of the game of the week. That's my thoughts at tight end.
Yeah, definitely with you on Jake Ferguson. That's a good matchup for him. The Bills are one of these defenses that plays a pretty high rate of too high coverage, which obviously benefits a lot of tight ends opening up the middle of the field. He sees an 18% target share against too high coverage, 13%. Against single high. So the matchup, not only is it a higher scoring game, but the matchup shapes up to be a game where he potentially sees more targets than usual. The one you mentioned that I would maybe suggest staying away from is Davis Allen. Obviously, he's on the lower end of the salary spectrum. So there's some interest there after how he looked last week. But I would say if you weren't going to play Tyler Higbee in this matchup, I wouldn't play Davis Allen either, because you're not saving a ton in salary.
It's true.
And Allen is not, he's not a dynamic athlete by any means. He's just a possession receiver. So he's going to do, at best, he's going to replicate Higbee, and he may even not be as good of an athlete as Higbee is. So I don't see a huge upside there. He's not one of these young tight ends that, is really raw and is, figuring out how to use his athleticism at the position. That's not him. He's a standard inline blocking tight end with enough athleticism to be a productive possession receiver, but there's no huge breakout game ceiling for him. I don't think he is, at best, replicating what Higbee does at a slightly lower salary. So that's not one that I would have a ton of interest in.
I think as most of your points, Ryan, I put these thoughts together. Ownership comes out Thursday morning, and I literally have like 20 minutes to do it before I have to get back to work. So I'm always really eager to hear your thoughts. I love your props, everything you do. Definitely follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan_McChrystal. He is the real deal and a great guy as well. That's going to do it for our show this week. I am looking forward to seeing you again next week, Ryan. And that will do it for the Sharp Football DFS and Prop Show.